gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Chirpy apologists. I'm just saying, CNN poll this morning says 78%. That's almost 80, Chris.
I've heard.
Love the president's speech.
I thought it was a good
positive
speech.
Reaction.
I thought it was a good
magnificent.
Speech.
Magnificent. I listened.
Yeah, but you were drunk.
Okay, I do have a confession, an opening confession. I did get drunk and fall asleep and not watch the speech, but I did watch it this morning.
Did you watch all 70 minutes of it?
Pretty close. Okay. I watched all the highlight clips and the... I got a little too excited on my big first State of the Union night. I'm adjusting to this schedule. I'm used to getting up at, you know.
At stupid o'clock.
And going to bed.
Insane o'clock.
Yes. So I did doze briefly.
You were getting drunk during the pregame show?
I got too excited. I got overexcited. All right.
What am I going to do with you?
Thank God for the YouTubes. Remember back in the day, Chris, when we started in radio? I would have been screwed.
I know.
I would have been like, I didn't see it. What happened?
Oh, I would have set my VCR to record it on SLP because it wouldn't have fit on one tape.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
All right. So all I can say is, okay, now I know everyone's going to have to pick it apart. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out.
Samuel Alito already picked it apart.
What is that? Someone tell him we can see you on TV. That's the new polite Republican version of you lie?
Yeah.
Just mouthing that's not true?
Mouthing that's not true and shaking his head like his head was going to come off his neck.
Like he was one of those little swiveling, you know,
dogs
in your car.
Yeah.
What was that about? What was not true about what the president said? They absolutely have opened the floodgates to corporate money and to
and international interests, yes.
In our elections. Doesn't that issue among every other show you how disingenuous the Republicans are?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have Bill O'Reilly always screaming at Rush Limbaugh about what a loon a judicial activist Ruth Bader Ginsburg is. She was the only one that asked the question, hey, guess what? Doesn't this open the door to foreign money in our elections? Like, what if Al-Qaeda wants to, whatever? It just goes to show you, Chris, they don't care about keeping America safe.
They really don't.
Care about what's good for Republicans.
That's right.
You know, and they see the ruling as good for Republicans and more money for Republicans, and that's all they care about. Oh, I thought the president took it to them last night, didn't you? Just like smirky and just ugh.
What the Republicans were smirky or Obama was?
The Republicans were just smirky, just you know, ugh. But I thought he took it to them on a bunch of stuff. And the thing I love the best is when, you know, this is what they always say about Obama, that everybody sees what they want to see in him or everybody
right.
hears what they want to hear. But I just thought the thing about Democrats, I thought he took it to Republicans and Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, didn't he say the thing that we've been saying about you're a majority, act like it? He said, I will remind you, you still have the biggest majority in however long.
Right.
The American people expect you to get something done, which to me was code for pass health care and do it through reconciliation if you have to. He wasn't giving up. I think he can't say reconciliation is what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying, Chris? But he said get it done.
Yeah, he can't
say. He said get health care done.
In the interest of, you know, politics,
right.
He can't say it. But
right.
that was his subtle clue. Absolutely.
Right, and he basically said, you know, get it done. You know, you are
get
the majority.
Done.
And then he, get her done. That would have been funny. if he did a Larry the Cable Guy.
Kind of funny.
But anyway, what was I going to say? But you know, and then I thought he really took it to the Republicans. You know, party of no may be good, saying no may be good short-term politics, but it's not a leading.
Right.
You know, and then he took it to him on the filibuster. If you're going to say we need 60 votes for every single piece of business, then, you need to lead, too. Then do something.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole lead, follower, get out of the way, right? Just saying, the man can give a speech.
That was a very good speech last night. And he was funny.
It was funny.
He
was funny. He was confident.
The thing that stuck out most with me is that there was life in the speech. There was humor.
Right.
There, you know, it wasn't like, you know, a talking point like George W. Bush used to give.
Right, right. Yeah, I thought that for us hope mongers still out there clinging, hanging by a thread.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I was surprised this morning, Chris, to hear, we'll get into all of that, but Because, boy, I tell you, it just seems on some things he just can't win, no matter what he did. I mean, I was thrilled about what he said about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but, you know, obviously for some gay activists this morning, it's not enough. And I'm like...
He's mentioned Don't Ask, Don't Tell before, and nothing's been done about it.
But I don't think he just mentioned it. He said, I will work with Congress to repeal it this year.
And he said that before, and he hasn't. So right now, those are just words. Until he signs an executive order, if he would have said, I'm going to sign an executive order, getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
He hasn't mentioned it at all. I mean, I'm just saying, I think that, we'll talk to, you know, we've got Representative Allison Schwartz on today, and of course, everybody's a pundit today. You know, that is magically.
Yes.
I'm a pundit, you're a pundit. And as we know, I had no time to do anything but watch the speech. So I have nothing else to talk about but the speech anyway. So 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Shano, with a salute to the speech.
Madam Speaker, the President of the United States.
In many, many ways, this is one of the most conservative speeches that a Democratic president has given.
Clowns to the left of me.
President Obama moves to the right.
Here I am, stuck in the middle.
President Barack Obama...
opening new offshore areas for oil and gas development, continued investment in clean coal technologies, eliminate all capital gains taxes on small business investment. We cut taxes, we cut taxes, we cut taxes, we cut taxes, we cut taxes. Now let me repeat, we cut taxes.
President Barack Obama.
The Democrats, I would remind you that we still have the largest majority in decades, and the people expect us to solve problems, not run for the hills. And if the Republican leadership is going to insist that 60 votes in the Senate are required to do any business at all in this town, a supermajority, then the responsibility to govern is now yours as well. We don't quit. I don't quit. Let's seize this moment to start anew, to carry the dream forward, and to strengthen our union once more. Thank you. God bless
you. Oh, God bless you, Mr. President. Yeah, that was funny, wasn't it? The thing about the tax cuts, and he looked at the Republican side. He's like, I thought I'd get some applause on that.
Yeah. That was very funny.
But it did. I mean, I that's what people are saying. It was a very canny speech politically because they can't keep saying, oh, if you listen to some of our ideas, those were Republican ideas, some of them.
Right.
You know, and it just, and they wouldn't even applaud for that. You know what I mean? They're the ones that have been trying to paint him as this big spending government, big government socialist. And he, you know, he made it to, I think he made a good case last night that this is what we've been saying. He has cut taxes for 95% of us. I mean, it's.
That needed to be said again. That should have been, he should have been saying that all year long. But,
yeah, but I mean, it's just, it is amazing that literally Republicans are flip-flopping to not be again for things that they've always been for because he's for them now.
Right.
Because, you know.
This morning I was, for some reason, I was watching Fox and Freaks.
I love this.
For 2 hours.
Steve Ducey.
Oh, well, yeah, Steve Ducey sent his little idiot son out to a bar in Chicago, and all he got were, right-winger opinions on how the president did. Oh, he didn't talk about this, he didn't talk about
that,
he didn't talk about this.
How shocking.
He didn't talk
Fox
about the Christmas
News.
Bomber. He didn't. It's like.
Son, go to a redneck bar and find a bunch of racists that hate the president no matter even if he cured cancer last night. Good job, son. It's unbelievable. Right wing world is pretty unbelievable today.
Yeah.
I love just even reading the first soundbite. His speech apparently, Chris, was both flat and defiant.
Yes.
Which I'm not sure. Apparently, it was incredibly flat and boring and also defiant.
Can you do that?
Huh?
Is it possible?
I actually, that's my favorite thing in right wing world reaction because. Whether you love him or hate him, this guy can give a speech.
He can.
And I love them twisting themselves into pretzels to try to make really great speeches. Just, no, it was, it wasn't all that. It was. And meanwhile, when George Bush, who could barely get a sentence out. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was like every speech was magic. It was, it was magnificent.
And from a staging standpoint, I thought the Republican response was actually kind of well done. He did it in front of an audience, so he had, applause lines and all of that. But that's, I know, from a staging.
Richie Rich.
From a staging standpoint, though, it was a lot better than Bobby Jindal's.
Well, that's kind of a low bar.
Yeah. I think they learned from
Americans
Bobby Jindal.
Can do anything. Oh, God. By the way, remember when Chris Matthews said, oh, God.
Yeah.
When Bobby Jindal was walking out. Can I just say, he's the most entertaining person to watch on this kind of coverage, because you just never know what he's going to say.
He's going to blurt out anything.
I forgot it was black. Did you hear that whole monologue? You know
no.
what happens?
Oh.
Okay, here was the good thing about me falling asleep for the actual speech. I did wake up in time to watch a lot of the post coverage.
Sure.
So when it gets later and later, Chris Matthews just gets, you just never know what's going to happen. That is just gold. Did you hear the I forgot he was black thing?
I read a headline. I read a headline.
I forgot. That's where I, you know, we don't even, that's his accomplishment. You don't remember he's black anymore. I don't know what that was about, but it was awesome.
Was Chris dipping into your wine or something?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe he starts tipping at a certain point. Anyway, I thought there was just all kinds of great stuff in it. I think he you know, talked about, obviously, the main concerns, jobs and the economy, but small business. I thought he had some great ideas for small business.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans sat on their hands for that.
Yep.
I mean, that's what you have to remember. They're out there giving lip service to, oh, yeah, yeah, jobs, yeah, that's important, job. There's not one Republican that's in support of the jobs bill. Like, when are Americans going to get it? They're not interested in solving your problems. I mean, it's just, I thought it was, you know what I'm saying.
I thought it was great. Very, very, very good speech.
All right. Speaking of great, Carbonite.com, our friends, our pals.
Queen segue.
Listen, I would not even know what happened last night if it weren't for my computer. So
that's true.
I take good care of my computer because my computer takes good care of me. I get it Carbonite. That's what I got it for Christmas.
And it appreciates it.
Thank you. Imagine losing everything on your computer. You know, I had financial documents and things when I made the move from L.A. to New York. I've got leases. I've got show stuff, you know. Imagine if you lost all of your most important personal and financial documents, photos, emails, music. Now imagine the relief of getting them back with Carbonite. It backs up your PC or Mac automatically when you're connected to the Internet. It's safe. It's secure. Here's what you do. You got to back it up first to get it back. Sign up today, $55 for the entire year. Hello. Go to Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Stephanie. A 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Go to Carbonite.com right now. Enter the offer code Stephanie for your free trial and 2 months free if you subscribe. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. All right. What did you think? What did we think? 1-800-STEPH-1-2. Everybody's a pundit today on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kid tested. John Conyers approved. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
One woman wrote to me and said, we are strained but hopeful, struggling but encouraged. It's because of this spirit, this great decency and great strength, that I have never been more hopeful about America's future than I am tonight.
Woohoo! Hooray for us hope mongers still hanging by a thread. That's me. I'm struggling but hopeful. I'm struggling with a hangover this morning, but hopeful that I'll get through the rest of the show.
You need to drink better wine.
Oof.
So you don't get these hangovers.
I should have gotten some special fancy State of the Union wine. One that actually allows you to stay awake for the speech. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. It's all right, thanks to the Internet. Mama did her homework. I watched the whole thing this morning.
Yeah, at least you had Internet this morning.
Oh, that's right. You didn't have Internet.
Yeah, I woke up this morning. I didn't have Internet, so my morning was all cattywampus because I do everything on the Internet.
All right. Ed in Cape Cod on what the president said. Now we're going to decode the messages from the president on health care. Hi, Ed. Go ahead.
How you doing, Steph? I just have one question. I'm wondering why they're not touting the fact that the health care bill would provide millions of jobs. If we're going to ensure...
And reduce the deficit. Yep.
There has to be a large amount of jobs, and no one's talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I thought the president, he accepted, you know, obviously some of the blame, which, you know, first of all, that's something brand new we haven't seen in 8 years in the Bush administration. You know, he accepted some of the blame, for, you know, for what's happened in the health care debate. He said the longer it was debated, the more skeptical people became. But he said health care will continue, Trump problems will continue for millions, and I will not walk away from these Americans, and neither should the people in this chamber. What did you think of that, Ed? I thought, you know, like Chris and I were saying, he can't say do it reconciliation. I think that's what he was saying. I mean, he knows exactly where we stand politically.
I just think it's a shame that they're not saying how many jobs will be provided by this. You know, I mean, jobs are the big thing now. They have always have been. But if they're going to put the health care bill through, which I hope they do, even though I'm already insured, it's going to provide a lot of jobs. I work for a hospital myself, and I know that if the health care bill went through, they'd have to hire people to provide health care for these 30 million people.
Thank you, Ed.
That's good job stimulus right there. But I don't.
Yep. Thank you, Ed. Good point. No, I mean, that is a really good point. I thought it was interesting the president, you know, even was able to make a little joke about it. What did he say exactly about, you know, if those of you who think that I was just trying to get a political win, clearly this hasn't.
Right.
You know, clearly. But, you know, I don't know, Chris. Didn't you take that from it? That I think, you know, at this point, he basically was saying the things we've been saying to Democrats, grow a set.
Yeah.
The American people don't expect you to run for the hills. They expect that you have a majority.
I heard that last night, and I think that's why Steve Hayes said that Obama was defiant, like he was defying the Republicans. How dare you defy the Republicans?
What's the word I would use? I would use the word presidential.
Yes.
I thought that's a leader. Mm-hmm. You know, he was talking to Republicans and Democrats, I thought. Mark in Minneapolis on the big speech. Hello, Mark. Hello.
Hi, gang. It's not surprising, though, that the timing of the State of the Union overshadowed the only example of bipartisanship we've seen in a year, and that was the bipartisan beatdown of Tim Geithner yesterday. But as far as the State of the Union, you know, we have to think of the Who song, "We Won't Be Fooled Again." I mean, I'm an independent. I supported President Obama. I voted for President Obama. We all know the president gives a pretty speech, but it's time for some immediate and reasonable action. One of the things he said yesterday was, "We won't relitigate the past." I want to know why. We had campaign promises about holding the Bush administration accountable for what looks to be immoral and treasonous war crimes, something that Great Britain is doing right now, and we aren't. We had, you know, subpoenas against Cheney, Roe, Gonzalez, Hugh Myers.
Look, I couldn't agree with you more, but seriously, do you think with the economy and the state it's in, you know, that he should have made that part of his speech? I mean, do you think people would have been like, what?
Well, not necessarily part of the speech, but we need to know what is the Attorney General Holder doing? And again, with what happened yesterday to Geithner and Bernanke, we have to look at the decisions he made in the past year, and he has to remedy those decisions. If he dropped the ball on the selection of Tim Geithner as the Treasury Secretary and is in support of Bernanke, we have to look at his decisions. You know, we're talking about a $30 billion jobs bill, and we're giving $145 billion in bonuses to bankers. The action we need to see is that
aren't. They, you know, I mean, I think the president made the point last night. They've paid most of the money back. He's trying to get the rest of it back with this fee on banks. So, you know, I think he is getting tough with banks.
Yeah.
We didn't give bonuses to bankers. They gave them to themselves, and the president was pissed about it along with the rest of us.
They gave bonuses away before they paid us back. That's poor business practices right there.
Yeah. Not to mention it's a giant set of brass ones.
Yeah.
The president devoted, Christine, you know what I'm saying? Like, I agree with them, obviously, on Bush administration war crimes, but it seems to me like that ship has sailed. And with a country hurting as much as it is right now, I mean, can you imagine? He devoted a big part of his speech to that.
It was already really long, so.
No, but I mean, just with the economy where it is and unemployment where it is. 29 minutes after the hour, back with more on what we think, what you think on the State of the Union on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Big eyes could melt the butter you kept in your pocket for lunch. Lunch butter, we called it.
Guess it's better than lung butter.
All right. The president said our union is strong. I thought he might use the word strong-ish for the first time in a State of the Union. But no, I guess
I don't think that's an actual word.
Strong-ish.
Our union is strong. We do not give up. We do not quit. We do not allow fear or division to break our spirit. In this new decade, it's time the American people get a government that matches their decency, that embodies their strength.
Thank you. He devoted, of course, most of the speech to job creation. He had some good proposals, I thought. By the way, this will surprise you, Chris, none of which Republicans are for.
Ah, well, yeah.
Eliminating capital gains tax on small business investment, extending tax breaks for businesses to invest in new plants and equipment. Those proposals, of course, face uncertainty in Congress because Republicans are big obstructionist fools. Without naming George W. Bush, but we know who he meant, he pointedly noted the previous administration left him a big deficit and a deeply troubled economy. True that. For good measure, he just pointed out, just FYI, GTK, we killed more al-Qaeda terrorists in 2009 than in 2008. And President Smoke 'em Out, Dead or Alive,
right,
was there. John in Austin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, John.
Oh, John had to go.
Okay, then. Dean in Pittsburgh. Hello, Dean.
Hello.
Yes.
I wanted to point out that what a bold and risky move the president made in taking on the five right-wing Supreme Court justices last night.
Yeah.
In front of national TV.
Yeah, I love that.
The liberals and progressives really have to have his back on this, no matter what we think about anything else he's done, because that's a move for our grandchildren he's making right there, and those guys have the power to make his life miserable the next 7 years.
Yeah, how about our bobblehead Alito doll?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an underrated thing he did last night. It's just something you don't see a president do.
Oh, I know. Just took it to him right to their face, and you know, and what's Samuel Alito talking about? That's not true. What did the president say that was not true? I mean, they absolutely opened the floodgates for corporations and foreign interests to come into our politics, mm-hmm. right?
Right. Well, the thing I think he's saying is not true is that their ruling didn't say that foreign corporations can directly do it, but foreign corporations can set up American subsidiaries to do it. So it's the same thing.
Right. I know. I mean, it did make you think again. You know, when you're looking right at them, Johnny, you're thinking, what the hell were they thinking with this decision?
It took brass ones to look at them standing 20 feet away and say that.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
I got to give the guy credit for that.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Do we have that sound clip? Thank you, John. I appreciate your call. Do we have that sound clip? I know that really was a moment. I love. Someone should send Samuel Alito a little a memo, Chris, that it's television and we can still see your lips move.
Mm-hmm.
I understand because the Republicans, you know, vowed to be more polite and not yell things like last time, like the you lie.
Right. In fact, I think they got a stern talking to before this speech.
Yes. Yes. But Samuel Alito, it's like, hello, he's talking about the Supreme Court. You might be on camera now, so you can't move your lips and think that no one will notice that. All right. No, we don't have this audio.
Yes, I had to look for it, here we are.
I don't think American elections should be bankrolled by America's most powerful interests, or worse, by foreign entities. They should be decided by the American people. And I'd urge Democrats and Republicans to pass a bill that helps correct some of these problems.
talking to you, Samuel Alito. Some of these problems, like Samuel Alito.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Michael in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, guys. I think that, to follow up on what the previous caller was saying, this is not only the President of the United States talking to the Supreme Court, but it's a constitutional law professor from the University of Chicago mm-hmm. Law School looking them straight in the eye and telling them, you guys messed up big time. So there's an extra dimension there. I think Obama was strong. I thought he was confident. I think he seized the bully pulpit. He's not the new guy in town anymore. Now he's the strong president taking command. And I think that, you know, one thing, he spoke to the Republicans sternly. He looked them right in the eye. And also, I got up out of my chair and I started applauding when he said to the Democrats, this is not about running for the hills. You are not to run for the hills. You are to govern. We put you here for a reason.
Yep.
And I think we're going to see a new Obama. Look at the front page of the New York Times. Look at that photo. That's a stern, tough Obama. And I think that's what we're going to see for the rest of his presidency.
Yep. I agree with you. Yeah, thanks for the call. Yeah, I wish he'd stolen our joke about and called them scrotus. I wish he would have said, look, you dumb boxes on the Supreme Court.
Use the same term that D-listed used for the Jersey Shore kids?
Yes.
I don't think that...
Listen, you five dumb boxes. I am not kidding around.
I don't think that rules of decorum would have dictated use
of
that.
I know, but you can always have fantasies. You can always have things in your thought bubble the way you wish he'd said it. He got close to stealing my idea, I think. Because you know he's stolen my lines before, Chris. He stole my... Remember I did the joke about Michelle Obama's right to bear arms on CNN?
Mm-hmm.
And then he used that joke.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, the next...
He steals from the best.
Yes. So I thought he was close to stealing my idea about dissolving the Senate entirely. He could do it, couldn't he?
No.
With a magic wand?
No.
Come on, he was taking it to the Senate. He was very pointed about the House has passed a bunch of good things that they, you know, so I think he could have called the Senate a bunch of dumb boxes.
Not even with an executive order.
Most people would agree. Pardon me?
Not even with an executive order could he do that to abolish the Senate.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying he was saying the same thing we are.
Well, I'm just saying that he can't.
It's true. What's the point of them? What is the point of the Senate? They're just, seriously.
You really want to
know?
The
House has passed a lot of really good things that they are all jammed up.
The point of the Senate is to give small states like Rhode Island the same amount of power as large states like
Texas.
Well,
it's jammed full of douches and dumb boxes, in my opinion. All right.
Ever the pragmatist you are.
Bruce in Louisville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm an independent. I lean to the right. I'm not a Republican because they have been a huge disappointment for many years. And if Obama was my guy, I'd be pumped like you guys are. I understand that. My question has to do with this jobs bill. It's a violation of economics 101. I know you're all excited about it, but I own a small bookstore.
Why is it a violation of economics 101?
I'm going to tell you why. I own a bookstore in Louisville. Mm-hmm. I don't hire people because I get a tax credit or a tax break of or a tax incentive of some sort. I hire people because my expenses go down or I'm able to sell more. I don't need a promise of a tax break to hire people. I need the government getting out of my business. I need the government quitting to stop having me regulate things, impose laws and restrictions that cause my costs to go up.
What regulations has the federal government imposed upon your business that has raised your expenses? Give me an example, please.
An example is insurance that I have to pay for protection legally, such as tort reform. I have to pay for protection against EEOC laws that where I could be accused of discriminating against people. These are two specific examples.
You do realize that it's illegal.
You know how you can avoid that is if you don't discriminate against people.
Yeah.
I don't discriminate against people, but I'm forced to protect myself from it. And
why would you have to protect yourself if you're not planning to discriminate against people?
Because frivolous lawsuits can come my way, as I have experienced in the past, in former businesses. That's why. Frivolous lawsuits.
Well, maybe if you didn't break the law, you wouldn't have lawsuits come against you.
Maybe if if there were no frivolous lawsuits, I wouldn't have to pay for the protection.
All right. All right, honey. Thank you for calling.
It's called hiring a lawyer, dude.
See, when you have a lot of lawsuits against you, they're frivolous, clearly.
Right, of course.
When they're against someone else, they're justified. But clearly, if they're against him, they're frivolous.
Do you have discrimination insurance against us, Stephanie?
No, perhaps I should. I wasn't planning on discriminating against you, but now I just might.
Oh, great.
All right. It's like I think Paula Poundstone does that thing. Like now that I'm in New York, I notice there's that sign in the subway that says no spitting.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have even thought of spitting until they gave me the idea. And then it makes you want to spit. Then you're like, well, now I want to spit because now they told me I can't. Okay.
Now you want to discriminate because they told you can't.
Exactly. I don't like people with buzz cuts. You're fired.
You're fired.
Hey.
Okay.
I just got a haircut yesterday. Damn it.
I don't know who's still on the phone. Put someone on.
Okay. Hi. Dan in Madison.
Hello, Dan.
Hey, Stephanie.
Yes.
Howdy from Wisconsin.
Well, howdy back.
And still number one.
Woohoo! Thank you, baby.
Yeah, no problem.
Isn't that something? What I thought liberal talk had failed. What? Mama's number one in Madison?
That's correct. And,
yes.
And it's like a zombie. It just can't be killed up here. We love it.
Yes, I know. All right, honey, go ahead.
But last night, as I'm watching the speech, I noticed it was like somebody handed the president a copy of the Star-Bellied Sneeches, and he took it to heart, because no matter what that guy does, the other Sneeches aren't going to like him. You know, he goes, well, I understand. Yeah, they're never going to appreciate who I am or what I do for them or anything. So now he's like, well, okay, let's just stick with the guy who's got the machine, you know, and create our own Star-Bellied Sneeches.
Right, right, exactly. Good analogy. Yeah. All right.
Good use of Dr. Seuss.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We enjoy a good Seussian reference.
Certainly.
Around the Stephanie Miller newscast. the president talking about the fee on the banks, by the way.
I proposed a fee on the biggest banks. Now, I know Wall Street isn't keen on this idea. But if these firms can afford to hand out big bonuses again, they can afford a modest fee to pay back the taxpayers who rescued them in their time of need.
By the way, Chris, I'm going to guess the Republicans aren't for that?
No, they're not. Of course not. Please.
See, that's the thing about being able to give a good speech. Doesn't it just sound like common sense when the president speaks? You're sort of like, who can be against that? You know, we bailed these guys out. They can afford to still give big bonuses with our money. And that's what I'm saying. On every issue, I go, and the Republicans are against that. Why?
Exactly.
The banks, you know, it's seriously stunning to me that no matter whether it's a jobs bill, whether it's, and I thought the president made a good case for, you know, I loved it. What was his joke about the bailouts? It was about as popular as a root canal, you know. I mean,
right.
He acknowledged that, I think, and he made a very good case about why some of the stuff he's done was not popular, but it was necessary. I mean, look at the part of what they're saying all this anger is about, Chris, is bailouts, the auto bailout. Did you see this morning? Ford reports its first annual profit in 4 years.
Yep. Good for them.
Made $2.7 billion in 2009. It would be profitable in 2010 and beyond. It says it benefited from cost-cutting, debt reduction, and of course, some of their cars that are popular. Mm-hmm. And anyway, but I think, he made a good case that this was not popular, but it was necessary.
Right.
The bank and the auto balance. And I think he made the case that economists on both sides say that, obviously that we have been pulled back from the brink of a great depression.
Although I don't think Ford took auto stimulus money, did they? They were the one.
I don't know about stimulus. I'm talking about the original bailout.
Yeah, I don't think they took bailout money. I think that was just GM and Chrysler.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, my point is, I think what he made the point that we made yesterday too about the stimulus, that even economists on both sides, same thing. They say it's working. You know, I understand the people that think if you're still out of a job, it doesn't seem like it's working to you. But it's not a matter of debate. It is quantifiable that it's working. You know, so. 47 minutes after the hour, back with more of our thoughts and yours on the State of the Union last night on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
We cut taxes for 95% of working families. We cut taxes for small businesses. We cut taxes for first-time home buyers. We cut taxes for parents trying to care for their children. We cut taxes for 8 million Americans paying for college.
Did you see he even got a chuckle from Boner after that when he said, I'd get some applause on that.
Yeah. Boner laughed. Good.
Yes. His leathery saddlebag of a face, briefly. By the way, shouldn't there be some sort of a protection, like I don't know, because from Joe Biden's teeth during a State of the Union? That's entirely.
He has horse-like teeth.
Well, it's just I don't know what it is. They're just it's just a big grill. You know what I'm saying? And it's very distracting when he smiles. When the just suddenly you're yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Richard in Fort Lauderdale, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Richard.
Good morning, Stephanie. Well, thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being had. Go ahead.
Listen, I'm an attorney in Florida, and I represent employees, I represent some unions, and I represent some small businesses. And this guy in
Louisville, you're the one in charge of the frivolous lawsuits.
Oh, I mean, it just gets my ire up. I mean, I wish they would just be intellectually honest and say that they oppose Obama, they oppose any liberal or progressive policies, rather than saying they're independent and that they really support things. They just, there's these frivolous lawsuits. This tort reform crap has got to stop.
I know. No, it's because that's the talking point that Free Republic gives them when they call liberal talk shows.
Oh, okay. Free Republic.
I'm an independent. I voted for the president, but, and then there's a talking point after
exactly.
that.
I mean, these people, that they hinge upon this tort reform stuff. There's this thing called Rule 11 in federal court cases, and most states have similar rules for their state court cases, that if you bring a real frivolous lawsuit, not only can the defendant win and get paid money by the plaintiff who brought them, they can get an award of damages against them for the frivolous lawsuit, the lawyers can have to pay the defendant money.
Yep. All right. Thank you, honey. Vicky in Los Angeles gone. Don't ask, don't tell. Hey, Vicky. Welcome.
Hi. Love you guys. I kind of wish you guys are my morning coffee. Kind of wish that I know you don't want to work, but the new 3 hours that Ron Reagan doesn't have anymore, I wish you guys were on again. I know you don't want to work.
Okay, oh, please, God. That's sorry. Cocktail hour. Are you crazy?
And Mike Thanks. Malloy is my anger manager. But anyways, yesterday, I thought his speech, the part where he got in their faces, that was totally great because he's never done that before. Like all three of them, Bush, the Supreme Court especially, and the Republicans. But still, a lot of his
he got up in a lot of people's grills, didn't he?
Huh?
He got up in a lot of people's grills, didn't he?
Yeah, he actually got in their face. I mean, he never has, like, he didn't say Bush's name, but we all knew he's talking about them. Got in the Supreme Court's face, he got in Republicans' faces, except he still, a lot of his talking points were a lot of from the speeches we've heard before, like, do it. Don't talk about, like, the don't ask, don't tell. I don't want to hear about talking about it. He needs to say, I'm going to write it tomorrow. Or, I can't think of what else in terms of, like, writing. Like, I'm going to write this tomorrow. Because part of the thing, it seems to me, he doesn't get, they are not voting no because they're Republicans or whatever. They're voting no because they don't like you. He doesn't seem to get that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, I feel bad about that, but that's the whole idea. Plus, he better fire Tim Geithner. Did you see that? Like, any of that court thing? Oh, my God. Those guys are like the car company. Anyway, sorry.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. She had to get that all out. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah, apparently.
I assume that, you know, the reason Chris said he doesn't sign an executive order on Don't Ask, Don't Tell is that, you know...
It would cause a crap storm, is what it would.
Exactly. I was going to... Yes, a storm, since I have my finger on the plate.
Sure.
So, because that's the way, obviously, things have always been done, is through Congress, you know, that he feels that's the appropriate venue. I mean, here's the thing, though. I understand people being impatient, and maybe it wasn't enough, or he didn't say, you know, exactly the right thing. But we could have had John McCain as president. He said yesterday, Chris, the policy has been successful. Don't ask, don't tell.
It has not been successful. Ask Lieutenant Dan Choi if it's been successful.
Yeah, he said at a time when our armed forces are fighting and sacrificing on the battlefield, now is not the time to abandon the policy. That's why now is exactly the time to abandon the policy.
Yeah.
Because we are losing great, qualified, fine Americans that want to serve their country. Well, I don't get that. I mean, it is a matter of national security. You know, we're the guys that can translate Arabic are, you know, in many cases getting fired. It makes no sense to me. Mm-mm. In what way has it been a successful policy?
I don't think there's any way you can point to where it's been successful in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
It's kicked out incredibly qualified people that we absolutely need in a time of two wars.
Yeah. You know what's really crazy right now? So, you know, the Skype, we're having technological weirdnesses this morning, aren't we?
No.
You're, like, frozen.
You're
not moving.
we're frozen in carbonite here.
Yeah.
Actually, the ad.
No, like that movie where they, they freeze the video so he can't see what's actually happening. You know what I mean? Like, like frozen
in time.
They don't
do that
in
before speed? He takes the mask off.
They don't do that in speed. They don't freeze anything.
Yes, they do. They freeze the video so what's-his-name, the killer, can't see what's happening in real time on the bus.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Okay. I'm just saying it's very strange. There's something
You're moving just fine.
Well, we're not driving the studio at 50 miles an hour. That's the problem.
That's
slower than that, we freeze.
You're moving just fine, and I'm moving just fine on my screen.
You are frozen. I'm telling you, you're not moving.
That's weird.
Yet I'm moving.
I know.
Maybe it's just that side of the room. Oh, the speech? There was a speech last night? I had no idea. No, it was great. He was brilliant. I think there were some things where he tacked a little to the right that made my skin crawl, like talking about nuclear energy. That is nails on a chalkboard, you know. Talked to some of the families in Pennsylvania who got paid millions of dollars from the company that owned Three Mile Island, how great nuclear energy is.
But I thought it was so canny like that politically. Republicans, they're against any of their ideas.
Right.
Because he's more of them. 58 minutes after the hour, back more of Jim Ward's thoughts and ours as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Dow is down 57 points. It is 6 minutes after the hour.
Oh, that damn Obama. Look what he did.
Damn it. He killed the Scott Brown rally.
Right.
Yeah.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy. Voice Deedee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Lots of folks email me with reaction to the speech. Jim, here's, I guess, the quote for you on who said this about the speech? This is the government. This is just government mandation of health care.
Well, judging by the use of a non-word, I'm guessing Sarah Palin. Yes.
Yes, it's the first right answer you've ever had. I guess the quote.
Mandation.
It's government mandation.
She also used the word lackadaisical.
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 Oh,
lackadaisical.
You say lackadaisical. Yes. Well, some of us do lackadaisical.
God. If only we could be more daisical.
It's too much government mandation. That's the problem.
The government's mandationing of lackadaisicalness.
That's too mandationist.
Jeez, what a moron.
What a moron. Okay. This is...
Maybe she's talking about the Mandan Nation, but they're not in her
state.
Instant
poll, 90% of Republicans who did not see Obama's speech disagree with it.
Huh.
That's pretty much...
Mm-hmm.
The headline this morning. All right. And meanwhile, back here in the, you know, Jim, 78%, that's nearly 80% in the CNN poll had a positive reaction to the president's speech, like you and I.
Huh.
Lewis writes...
What a bunch of morons.
Lewis agrees with Jim Ward. Stephanie, I thought the president was magnificent last evening. I was definitely one of the most vocal about how disappointed... Is my box too loud?
Yes. What?
I've gotten too many complaints about my box being too low since I moved to New York.
Right. When you play music beds, they have to be a little bit lower than your voice, you see. But when you play sound effects, they have to be a little higher.
Hmm.
You know, I don't know that much.
You didn't
about
go to radio
box,
school.
No. I just, you know, I know
you
when
you skipped
it works
that day in
doesn't.
Radio school.
All right. I was definitely one of the most vocal about how disappointing his demeanor has been of late, but last night the man I felt so deeply inspired by was fully present. As an American, I was moved to tears with stories of people struggling and stood in applause as he once again demonstrated that we are a great country. He played the Rethugs perfectly. It was one of the classiest readings down without stooping to their level. That's true.
Yeah.
It was classy and presidential.
Mm.
And if they continue to ride their insulting party of no ideology, let it be known the American public is completely on to them. They are disgusting, each and every one of them. I felt inspired and realized that it is no time to back off. We need to stand up with the president and continue to do our part together to work for a better tomorrow for the next generation. The boldest and most significant moment is when he took the Supreme Court justices to task. They have legislated one of the most dangerous, depressing, and infuriating policies in American history. If he had not mentioned something about it, the president would have done a disservice to the American people. I felt he was totally in tune with the American people last night. Magnificent and bravo. Lewis, one of the early reviews.
Can you imagine a speech like that coming from George Bush?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Look at all the times we wasn't attacked. Huh? You're welcome.
What'd you think of the Alito bobblehead doll, Jim?
Oh,
that was,
God.
That was something.
Yeah, it was a mumbly version of, you lie!
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. What exactly wasn't true that he just said?
You lie! You lie!
We can see it in your thought bubble.
Yeah.
You're moving your lips.
Okay. No, it wasn't.
All right.
Yeah, how about that for judicial activism?
Yeah.
David in Phoenix, Arizona thinks I'm vile. Hello, David. Good morning.
Good morning.
The show, I don't think you understand it. I don't think anybody in this country takes this show seriously. I don't think takes
Why not?
The show. Now you can talk over me and make smirks about it, but it's you're vile. I mean, you're not even using logic. All you do is make fun of somebody. Whenever you disagree with them or whatever their policies don't agree with yours, their face looks like a saddlebag or, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous.
I was referring to his leathery. Don't you think John Boehner is over-tanned?
I don't care what John Boehner is. I mean, the fact is, I don't care what he looks like. I mean,
you called him Boehner.
You called him Boehner.
Completely vile. See, it's contagious. Your vileness is contagious.
I made you vile, David. Yay! Isn't it fun?
No, but no, see, here's the other thing, too. You just agreed with your caller when she just said something to the effect, you know, if they don't like, they just don't like him. That's why they don't agree with the thought. They don't like him. No, who cares? Nobody doesn't like a guy. Nobody agrees with what he's doing. Nobody. I know what I'm talking about. I listen to a lot of stuff.
What are one thing Republicans are for? They are against everything, even some of his ideas they weren't clapping for last night.
First things first, let's recognize that for the last three years, the Senate has had a supermajority. Now, here's the other thing. They have had the ability.
No, they have not.
Listen,
that's not true.
No, for the last year and a half.
Listen, they've...
Hello?
Oh, turn the lock. All right. Well,
it's your mandation. Cut off his phone. It's too much mandation.
You're making fun of people, Stephanie.
Well,
he
yeah, but that,
John Boehner correctly.
Yes, that's good. That's progress.
John Boehner.
But yeah, he claimed that we don't have the facts, and he claims we've had a supermajority for, you know, a million years. So
right. And furthermore, no one takes this show seriously. What's he talking about?
Now your box is too low. There you go.
That's more like it.
That's what we need.
That's the vileness we're looking for.
Okay, well, I think the point of this show is not to take us seriously. I don't know what's his point exactly.
Well, it's okay. The facts with fart jokes. That's
for slide whistle
and slide whistle.
Some meetings with fart jokes.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm mixing up
drops,
exactly.
Liners, yeah.
Liners.
All right, the president.
And we're on track to add another 1.5 million jobs to this total by the end of the year. The plan that has made all of this possible, from the tax cuts to the jobs, is the Recovery Act.
No, it isn't.
That's right.
No, it wasn't.
The Recovery Act.
That's right.
Well, also known as the stimulus bill.
You lie! You lie! You lie!
Alito, inside voice. Let's use our inside voice.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did I say that out loud?
I'm supposed to be Supreme Court
dear.
Justice.
Oh, I'm supposed to be impartial. Oops.
Oh, dear.
You know, that's what I was saying, Jim. It's just some things are not open for debate. I understand you can
disagree
with the stimulus, but it absolutely, and you can argue over how many jobs it saved or created,
right.
But it has.
Yes, and just look at the graphs.
Yes.
Look at the last year of George Bush's presidency and the first year of Obama's, they're mirror images of the other. Except it's going in the right direction.
Right. Yeah. I forget, and now the numbers escape me, Jim. I don't know if you remember them, but how many, you know, I think Obama even said it last night, didn't he? How many jobs, you know, where the number was when he took over and where it is now. Exactly what you're saying. It clearly is moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The
Except
president,
according to the Republicans, if it helps him, it's the wrong direction.
Right.
Yes.
Screw
yes.
the country.
But I realize that for every success story, there are other stories of men and women who wake up with the anguish of not knowing where their next paycheck will come from, who send out resumes week after week and hear nothing in response. That is why jobs must be our number one focus in 2010, and that's why I'm calling for a new jobs bill tonight.
And guess what, Jim? The Republicans are against that.
Of course. Whatever it is, I'm against it.
Mm-hmm. Has there been any explanation, Chris? Have they explained why they're against the jobs bill? You would think by the very name of it, you see it would be about
Too
jobs.
Much government mandation.
They hate jobs, obviously.
Oh.
Republicans hate
jobs.
So they
want the American people to have less jobs because that would be better for them.
Well, they want to ship all the jobs overseas. We can't have them here. That's...
Okay.
Terrible idea.
We're job pigs already.
They're making way too much money.
Overseas. All right, let's go to Tracy in Phoenix. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. I was really hoping that Joe Wilson or someone else would speak out of turn again, check their dignity at the door, and give us a laugh. But I was kind of disappointed that he didn't.
Well, Alito almost did.
Yeah, I could see the smoke coming out of his ears.
Yeah. Alito's not aware that we can see your lips moving on television.
It's like hell.
Yep.
I could see your lips move.
And,
yes,
and we
ahead.
Don't all think you're vile here. We love you. I don't know what was wrong with him. Maybe he didn't get his coffee yet.
Yeah. Well, I was able to turn him vile as well, so my job is done.
Of course. Boner.
Thank you. All right. Ashley in Chapel Hill, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, thanks. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the jobs bill and respond to that guy who is the bookstore owner in Louisville.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Too much government mandation is.
And you know what? He struck me as false because he pronounced the name of his city Louisville,
uh-huh.
And nobody in Louisville pronounces exactly. It Louisville.
Yeah. I'm from Louisville, and
right, exactly. Well, I own a small business, and I have to say that tax credits to small business can make a difference in employing people, but the tax breaks are also for things like buying equipment and mm-hmm. doing capital improvements, which can eventually save you money so you can employ more people. But more to the point, the stimulus funds have been absolutely essential to keeping jobs on the state level, teachers, healthcare workers, you know, mm-hmm. where all of this money flowed to the states. And if those people are unemployed or if we don't extend unemployment insurance, then nobody is going to have the money to buy the products
right.
like books that, you know,
right.
will allow this man to employ people. So the fact that the Republicans cannot see that in a time when the private sector has completely shut down on loaning money and on employing people, the only entity that's big enough to pump money into the system to keep employment and consumption going is the government. So
yep.
it's just unbelievable to me that you have small business owners who are cutting off their nose to
mm-hmm.
spite their face.
Yes,
frivolous lawsuits.
It's thank you for calling. Yeah, it's the script, isn't it?
Yeah, frivolous
it's
lawsuits
script.
Is yeah, that's tort reform. Tort reform, right.
Yeah.
It's all those
Hello,
all those brown people trying to sue me.
Hello, I am an independent, but I voted for the president, and uh-huh. I live in
Louisville,
Idaho.
Louise.
I am a small business owner from...
Not a single person in Louisville pronounces it
right.
Louisville.
I heard you correct him. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, that's weird. Why are you correcting him? On
I'm an independent from Frisco. Nobody says that in San Francisco.
Right.
Absolutely nobody.
Yeah. Hi, I am from Chi-Town. No one in Chicago calls it Chi-Town.
No, they kind of do.
They do. Right. Yeah, they do.
They
don't call it Chicago, though.
City. Pardon me?
They don't call it Chicago.
Chicago like you pronounce it.
Chicago.
No, that's
no.
not
right.
it.
No.
I like it. All right. No one from Lockport actually says Lackport, but I do.
But they say Cheektowaga.
Cheektowaga and Tanawanda and Lackawanna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. 18 minutes
Kevin
after
O'Connell.
The hour. Exactly. Kevin O'Connell, the weatherman.
It's the
from
guy.
From Los Angeles.
They did a game show with him.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back with more on the State of the Union on the Stephanie Miller Show.
If you turn her on, she'll turn you on.
Oh, God.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Brian writes, Steph, the Republican response was creepy and overstaged. It looked like a film school production. they must have had a wire to keep that Asian guy to keep him nodding in agreement. He even nodded when nothing was being said. Very weird.
Yeah, I saw that.
And how do you get to, Jim, is there a casting call for the one black person to be in the shot when a Republican speaks and look like they're really happy about it?
Is he nodding too, or...
Yeah, just, I know it was a woman, right? It was a black woman.
Oh,
it was
I didn't watch the response. Mm-hmm.
Although the new governor has good hair, there was a big disconnect in the governor's comments in Obama's speech. Yeah, I think Chris Matthews made that. Shouldn't it be some law that you got to actually listen to the speech? Shouldn't the response actually have to be to something that was in the president's speech? I don't.
When the president said we should kill puppies, I was incensed.
Yeah. No, you can tell they write it before
obviously.
The speech. There's not. It really wasn't any response to anything he said.
They probably gave him a phony version of the speech just to trick him.
Right, right. Exactly.
To respond to something that didn't happen.
Exactly. Why? He didn't say that. By the way, speaking of the speech, Jim, who said last night, I forgot he was black for an hour?
Gene Robinson.
No, Chris Matthews. Yeah, you know that's the most, I mentioned it earlier, it's the most entertaining stuff. The later and later it gets in the night, you just never know what Chris Matthews is going to say.
He does have a mild form of Tourette syndrome. Bad!
Give
it a feast!
Blah, 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 biscuits! So entertaining. Do you have the I forgot he was black?
Yeah, I forgot
he was
Everybody
black.
Does. You know, I was trying to think about who he was tonight, and it's interesting. He is post-racial, by all appearances. You know, I forgot he was black tonight for an hour. You know, he's gone a long way to become a leader.
Yeah. Then the hour is up. Hey, wait a minute. He's black.
He's black again.
What the hell?
That must have been some special lighting. What?
That's just
all
bizarre.
Right. That was really bizarre. All right, let's the president talking about climate change.
I know that there are those who disagree with the overwhelming scientific evidence on climate change. But
some of you disagree with math.
But here's the thing: even if you doubt the evidence, providing incentives for energy efficiency and clean energy are the right thing to do for our future. Because the nation that leads the clean energy economy will be the nation that leads the global economy, and America must be that nation.
What a commie.
Oh, say it ain't so. More government mandation on science and math and things that are hard. Okay. Ann in Texas. Hmm. Yes, Jim. Sorry,
Nothing.
Go ahead.
Nothing. Go ahead. Keep going.
All right, Ann in Texas. Hi, Ann.
I disagree with the president about the economy. It's a two-way street. I think that, yes, he can improve the economy, but as far as our natural resources, why not use windmills for energy? It's a whole lot cleaner, and we don't have to worry about the nuclear fallout.
Well,
and
yeah,
they're pretty.
That's part of it.
Yeah. Are you driving a piece of heavy machinery right now?
Yeah, honey, I'm a trucker.
Awesome.
Every morning.
Could you blow your horn for me, please?
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah!
That makes me happy. Thank you, Ann. All right. It makes me so happy.
Yeah,
Buddy,
I thought the one thing that made my skin crawl, too, was the nuclear energy thing. But that's only part of the solution.
Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Buddy.
You know why I called up?
Why?
It was a mandation.
It was mandated. It was mandated.
It's a mandation.
Of me. Yeah.
Hey, you guys are great, but I've got a real problem with you guys. You have yet to address the world's thermonuclear snark bomb that Bob Bickle dropped on Fox. Did you?
Oh,
guys
I missed
see,
that.
Did you guys see that?
No.
He was on it, and he had these two bimbos, and they kept interrupting him. Finally, he looked at one and said, "You guys are the party of no. You're nothing more than." Baggers, birthers, and blowhards.
Wow.
And he said that, and the peroxide blonde, you know, was so vacuous, she doesn't understand that she just, like, he just dropped the big one.
Right.
And it was amazing. And then this brunette looked over and says, birthers, baggers, and blowhards. And Bob Bickle says, yes, you're the party of no. You've done nothing. Own it. I'll send you the clip. It's just amazing.
Yep. Well, it's, you know, that's, you know, that's what I thought the president did, but like we were saying, in very presidential classy ways, didn't he, Jim? I thought he really took it to them, you know? I mean, he's, I thought, you know, even on the filibuster, he's like, if you're going to require that any piece of business takes 60 votes, then, you know, governing's your responsibility, too.
Right.
Right? It was the, you know, lead, follower, get out of the way. All right. The president on health care last night.
This is a complex issue. And the longer it was debated, the more skeptical people became. I take my share of the blame for not explaining it more clearly to the American people. And I know that with all the lobbying and horse trading, the process left most Americans wondering, what's in it for me? But I also know this problem is not going away. By the time I'm finished speaking tonight, more Americans will have lost their health insurance. Millions will lose it this year. Our deficit will grow. Premiums will go up. Patients will be denied the care they need. Small business owners will continue to drop coverage altogether. I will not walk away from these Americans, and neither should the people in this chamber.
I I mean, Jim, didn't you think, like I was saying, I don't think he could say reconciliation, but isn't that what you took?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it was the code I took, but, it, you know, he said right to Democrats, you know, you still, I'll remind you, you still have the biggest majority in, you know, X number of years. Get it done. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Get her done.
The American people expect you to get stuff done. So I thought that's what he was saying. 29, by any means necessary. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're coming off desperate, honey.
I'm sorry. I've been distracted by yet another internet shiny object.
Oh, no,
you
what?
You know how whatever serious topic we were on when someone first mentioned catswholooklikehitler.com?
Yeah.
Or men who look like old lesbians.com?
Mm-hmm.
I thought a listener was kidding, but there is actually a website called hotchickspickingupdog.com.
That's a fetish.
You must be in there.
No, because my life pretty much in New York, it revolves around picking up poo. It does. Oh, and I had to take a fecal sample to the vet. So that was a whole thing yesterday with little test tubes in Central Park.
On the train.
My dog said Giardia. Oh, yeah, it's delightful. But that's my
dude,
life. It involves picking up poo.
How the hell does anybody manage to live in Manhattan? I don't understand that.
I'm sorry, but the internet, it's the domain of people with entirely too much free time. There are some sister sites, Jim, that you might want to check out.
Oh, boy.
Hotchickswithstubtoes.com. Hotchicks with blowing their asses dry.com. They're actually, I don't know, for some reason with a blow dryer. I'm not really sure. Hang on. Let me see what the other
I think these are fetish sites, Stephanie. I don't know that you should be going too deep into these things.
It's going to get
hot
weirder.
Hotchicksplunkingyourtoilets.com.
The
ones I'm looking at, they're fully clothed. It's just,
well, no, no, no. But there is that. But there are fetishes of hot chicks doing various things. Like Joel McHale on The Soup always points out that there are these hot chicks getting hit with pies. Some people get off on that. I don't understand it, it's out there.
What kind of pie?
See?
Oh. Cream pie.
These are sites for JimWard.com. Sites for Squeezy. All right. The president talking about, once again, about health care.
If anyone from either party has a better approach that will bring down premiums, bring down the deficit, cover the uninsured, strengthen Medicare for seniors, and stop insurance company abuses, let me know.
Yeah.
Ah.
What do you got? Let's hear it.
Let me know. Let me know.
Nice applause on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You lie.
I'm eager to see it. Here's what I ask Congress, though. Don't walk away from reform. Not now. Not when we are so close. Let us find a way to come together and finish the job for the American people. Let's get it done. Let's get it done.
Get her done. Yeah, that was a wink, wasn't it, Jim?
Yeah.
That was code for use reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to.
Exactly.
Coming together would involve, you know, the other side actually being interested in anything
right.
That would help the
apart
American
from saying
people.
No. Yeah.
You know, Valerie Jarrett made a good point. She said part of the American people's frustration is really not health care. It's watching month after month after month of Congress talking and talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's absolutely true. Nancy Pelosi said giving up not an option. I don't see that as a possibility. We will have something. Here's the one I don't understand. Okay, the one route involves Senate Democrats using reconciliation to make changes in the bill acceptable to the House. So what's his name? The two centrists, whoever, Blanche Lincoln, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've already said they'd oppose that.
Yep.
So what? That's the point of reconciliation. You don't need
right.
them. Right?
Dump them overboard.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go to Kim in Orange County. Hi, Kim. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mooks. I just wanted to say quickly that I'm one of your biggest fans, so when I criticize you, I'm criticizing you with love, okay?
Out of love. Okay,
okay.
Sure. It's going to hurt you more than me. Okay.
That's right. If we want our president to fight, we have to fight with him. And I think that by having these right-wing tools call and giving them time to express their view without fighting back aggressively with facts is not helping. I mean, I think that...
Well, I think we differ. I think we do fight back with facts.
Yeah, and we eviscerate them every time they say something stupid.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we need to do it more aggressively, and I think we need to do it with facts.
But why? They do it themselves. We just give them more rope.
Okay, yeah, well, okay, but we need to talk back to them. We need to talk back to them, okay?
Ah,
I love
right.
you guys.
I love you back.
I'm probably your biggest fan, but all that's right. how I feel.
All right.
Well,
I'll get right
know,
on that.
I think we do.
Yeah,
a
I mean, we'll
facts,
let them.
A little less.
We let them, you know, get in up to their necks, and then.
Yeah.
Then
until
once they hang up, then we stomp on their head.
Until you can hear their Freeper script crinkling. It's
yeah.
I am
yeah.
from Louisville.
I am an independent.
And these government mandations are strangling my small business.
I am from Dorchester, Massachusetts.
I am from Worcester.
I am from Norfolk. And I believe.
Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Hello, Tim.
Morning. You know, I think I'm your biggest fan. I think I got the Steph store for Christmas.
Oh, good boy.
Awesome.
I know. That's just, I love you.
I certainly hope that you picked up some of that USA coffee, because that is delightful, and you know you'll be buying American.
Yes, I did. I'm actually having a cup now.
Thank you. Okay, where is the? Do we have a banner ad, Chris?
We certainly do. Just go to StephanieMiller.com, and you'll see the banner ad for Stephanie Miller's Gentle Blend. This was
yes,
a
legitimate
call.
Yes, some of the money goes
call.
To Gentle Giants Dog Rescue, where Mama got her doggies. All right, go ahead.
You know, I was quite surprised. Actually not surprised, but when the Republicans were, during when the president's speech, when he was saying how we should start taxing companies who ship their jobs across seas, and out of our borders, we should cut their tax breaks and give the tax breaks to the companies who keep the jobs here and create new jobs.
Sounds
and,
awesome to me.
And the Republicans didn't stand up. They didn't clap. They didn't do anything. I was actually, I was kind of surprised at that. You would think that, first of all, they would hear the word tax cut and jump for joy.
Right.
And they would want to go ahead and start creating more jobs for this country, for the people of their country and their districts. And they did nothing. I think their pep talk before they got into the chamber was, don't stand up, don't clap,
yes.
don't do anything.
Yes.
Just sit there
if he's for it,
ball.
We're against it. It's no, and it literally is, Tim, you know, some of their ideas, obviously. It is like that commercial
there was
with,
a
you
lot
know,
of
like,
their ideas mentioned in the
right.
speech, and they didn't even clap, stand up, or do anything. It was like, you
right.
want to hear bipartisanship. The president speaking, you're not doing any of it. I think
yeah.
you're absolutely
it's like that commercial
right
where the guy... The guy steals the other guy's idea but just does this with his hands, and then everybody likes the
exactly.
idea.
I think you're right. I think with anything we're going to do or have to do, or do and if for anything that we are going to try to pass or anything, we're going to have to use reconciliation for everything, because Republicans just showed what they were going to do for the next year. They're not going to do anything. They're going to sit on their hands
yep.
and fight and say, no, we don't want
you
like
got to call
even
them out. I'm sure you've
idea.
Seen that. I'm sure you've seen that graph on TV, Tim, is the way filibuster is being used now, unprecedented in,
you know,
in history.
Quite frankly, I think if we're going to start using the filibuster, they should have to do with what Mr. Smith goes to Washington. They have to stand there and tell there and wear a diaper and just tell
well,
them they can't
Senator
speak
Vitter
anymore.
Would like that too much.
That's, well, I think it's just the only way to do it.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Yeah, you don't want to do something that's going to make David Vitter happy, for God's sake.
And happy in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
At least nobody's getting hit with a cream pie.
Oh, by the way, he has a connection to this Louisiana Watergate, doesn't he? David
yes, he
Vitter.
Does.
Yes, he certainly does.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I love this whole story, don't you, Jim? The Louisiana Watergate. It's weird. It's just a prank now, because I'm sure that's what the Republicans would be calling it.
Yeah.
If, Democrats
kids
had committed
good
a felony.
And Fox News gave an explanation of why they're not covering it. Because certain things need to be put into context. We need to have all of the information.
Oh.
Right.
Right.
That's a first.
Okay.
That's
yeah,
you need to have the information before
yeah,
you start
you
yakking.
Didn't put the Acorn story into context mm-hmm. before you reported falsities.
Yes. Four, in case you don't know the story, four young conservative activists were arrested this week accused of trying to tamper with the telephones in Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu's New Orleans office. 2 days after their arrest, neither the FBI nor federal prosecutors would say what the defendants were up to or whether they were part of some larger conspiracy. D'ya think, Jim?
Well, the trail leads right back to David Vitter, who apparently wanted to wiretap Mary Landrieu's office.
Yeah.
That's certainly what it looks like.
O'Keefe's lawyer said Wednesday his client was not trying to wiretap or interfere with Landrieu's phones. Yeah, that's why he dressed as a phone guy and asked to get in the phone closet, because you're not trying to interfere with someone's phones.
He was a land shark.
That's crazy.
Candy Graham.
Yeah, he was a land shark.
He was there for Senator Flugenfressen.
Who?
Flugenfressen.
Candy Graham.
His lawyer also would not say whether he was working for someone or was on his own.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Hmm. The incident occurred a month after Landrieu announced her support for the Senate health care bill.
Yeah.
The conservatives had complained they were unable to register protests at her office because her voicemail box was often full. Yeah, like pretty much every other senator and Congress people. Mm-hmm.
People call Congress people.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? You know who's got to be really sweating bullets right now is Andrew Breitbart. Who is, yes, because he's the one who's been pushing all of this Acorn stuff and all of that. And so, you know,
I had nothing to do with it. What? I didn't tell him. That's crazy.
He's a sweaty fellow anyway, so.
What are you looking at me for? I'm not defensive. You're being defensive. Shut up.
Oh, boy. Shano has graced us with a wireless
James O'Keefe is facing federal felony charges. For aiding and abetting an attempted wiretap of a Democratic senator.
Two of them claiming to be and dressed as telephone repairmen.
Yeah, I've learned through a source, I don't know how reliable this is, but they were apparently dressed like Mario and Luigi.
With conservative boy wonder James O'Keefe recording it all, they are now charged in a criminal complaint, having entered under false pretenses for the purposes of committing a felony, and words like bug and wiretap are being thrown around.
That resolution described Mr. O'Keefe as, quote, owed a debt of gratitude by the people of the United States.
Get your ass in jail! And it's not the deed, it's if you get caught.
Ha ha! Tee-hee. 45 minutes after the hour, back with more on the State of the Union, our thoughts and yours as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The mere fact that I have a breathy voice, full sensual lips, and a steaming hot body doesn't make me a bimbo.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. I can't make it down. I can't make it down. So get down your feet and jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump up and get down.
Oh, no, that is making me nauseous. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay, just sit down. You're too old.
A little bit of a hangover. No jumping. No jumping.
1-800 There's no Steph. Jumping in radio.
No jumping. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Oh, boy. Jim, I got drunk and slept through the State of the Union. Thank God for the internet.
Yeah.
Watch that. I was like, huh? Wahapa.
Wahapa. You woke up and Chris
They're
Matthews.
Doing analysis of a speech I didn't see, and Chris Matthews was already in his his non sequitur version of the evening.
I was drunk, too, but I didn't fall asleep.
Ah, well, you know.
I watched it. Am I the only responsible person on this program?
That's so old-fashioned, watching it in real time.
Well, if I didn't have sound bites for you this morning, I wouldn't hear the end of it.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
All right.
And I backed them up using Carbonite.
Good one. Okay, the president last night on the spending
freeze. I'm proposing specific steps to pay for the $1 trillion that it took to rescue the economy last year. Starting in 2011, we are prepared to freeze government spending for 3 years. Spending related to our national security, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security will not be affected. But all other discretionary government programs will.
The Republicans didn't know what to make of that. Yeah. Of that. They were like totally bugging.
Oh, do I clap? Do I boo?
Yeah.
You lie.
What?
No,
we lie. We lie.
We lie. Oh, no.
Yeah.
You lie. You lie.
Nancy Pelosi, not exactly jumping around over the freeze. She said defense spending should not be exempt from the freeze. She said everybody has to make a sacrifice. If you're asking everybody else in the country who has an interaction with the federal government to cut back, I think we have to subject every federal dollar to the harshest scrutiny. She said there is some room to cut 5% from the defense budget by targeting waste among contractors and the sprawling defense bureaucracy. Provided it has no impact on, obviously, the troops and the field commanders, yada, yada. I mean, yeah, look at the, what is it, Jim, the F, what is it, F-22? Which plane was
F-22.
It? You're a plane guy.
Yes, the F-22.
Yeah.
$1 billion per copy or something like that.
Yeah. She said we all want a strong national defense, and it doesn't fly in the rain or something, right?
Something like something, that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. We all want a strong national defense, and we want to fund it in an appropriate way, but we're not here to protect defense contractors. The fact is, if we have to cut spending, we should subject every dollar to that.
The F-117 had those problems, too. Something about the stealth technology is not rain-friendly. I don't really I'm not sure why.
I'm not a scientist, but what if they just stopped using the word, the letter F? Maybe that would solve the problem. Maybe that's the problem.
No.
Dave in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dave.
Hi, great show this morning. Appreciate
Thanks.
It. I thought the president did a pretty good job last night. He was about as tough as he gets, and I was proud of him. I was jumping up and down a bit in support. I wanted to call specifically, though, in response to an earlier caller, the small business owner who was talking
from
about
Louisville, who is an independent and voted for the president, but this mandation is crushing my small business.
Exactly. Thank you. I'm a small business owner, too. Thank you, Jim, for pressing that guy into a ridiculous answer. That we are not getting mandated to buy insurance against frivolous lawsuits. We can choose to buy umbrella insurance,
right,
which is the best deal out there. I hate insurance, actually, but that's actually a good deal. But what we need is health care. My biggest problem in our business was back when the economy was growing and we needed to add people, we couldn't afford health insurance, so we couldn't get the people we needed.
Right. Healthcare. I mean, that's what the president is talking about. I mean, everything pales in comparison to how health care is crushing the economy and small businesses and the deficit, all of that, right?
Exactly. That's the number one key, both for my wife and I personally, who own the business, and our employees. We want to have health care. We want it to offer it very much. It's a moral thing for us. We want to offer good jobs, and it's unaffordable. And the president is right on. If he could just be, you know, free to pursue his agenda of investing in health care, education, infrastructure, and energy, you know, we would the greatest days lie in front of us. But it's all this dead weight.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, absolutely. Jim, did you see he almost got close to stealing my idea of just dissolving the Senate? You know, and essentially he was saying what I was saying. What's the point of you?
The
House has passed all this good stuff, and what's the matter with you?
The Constitution
boxes?
Is standing in his way.
Senate,
you are
Senate.
A bunch of dumb boxes.
I don't think you would use the same term to refer to the Senate as you would to Snooki from Jersey Shore.
Yes, I would. Steve in Los Angeles here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you. I had this thought while watching the Republican response. About 2 minutes in, I got the feeling they should have started playing that award show music to play someone off.
I know, please, with the Republican response, with the guy with the good hair and the couple black people they got from Central Casting to make it look like they're an inclusive party. And,
all cheering wildly for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that and you could use that on your show when you get a caller like me who won't hang up, start playing them out.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, but thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Bye-bye now.
And a hook comes from off stage and, you know, drags them off.
Exactly. And Soupy Sales gets hit in the face with a pie.
Exactly. Oh, let's play a little Governor Bob McDonnell, shall we? The new Republican governor of Virginia and all his many, many black friends.
The amount of debt is on pace to double in 5 years and triple in 10. The federal debt is now over $100,000 per household. This is simply unsustainable.
Yes.
The president's partial freeze announced tonight on discretionary spending is a laudable step, but a small one. The circumstances of our time demand that we reconsider and restore the proper limited role of government at every level.
Like in the Bush administration. Oh, wait a minute. They caused the friggin' deficit.
Wait a minute. Yes, it's cutting down on the government mandation-ish.
It's all those government mandations.
Exactly.
And of course,
go ahead, Jim.
I was going to say, remind people again, the debt went up automatically when we started counting the money being spent on the wars, which the Bush administration was sweeping under the carpet.
Thank you. Alan in Pennsylvania. Hello, Alan.
Stephanie?
Yes.
Yes. I was trying trying to get into the Laura Ingraham show this morning because she was using the black accent, which was really bad. But once I told the screener that I was going to suggest that we try to find some common ground to get some things done, he never asked my name or where I was from. So I waited for about 20 minutes and then gave up. But
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, they're not interested in common ground. That's a little tip for you.
Not like you that give, you know, the right-wingers some time, you know, to expose themselves.
Sometimes to a fault, yes.
Exactly. Well, all right, Alan, thank you for calling. Although, may I just say in bipartisan fairness, Chris,
what?
Laura Ingraham maybe didn't take his call because he has a crappy phone. Could have been that.
That was a Sports Illustrated sneaker phone.
Yes, that could have been it.
Yeah.
Maybe it had nothing to do with politics. All right, Charles in St. Paul real quick. Hey, Charles.
Not that that guy attended Pat Robertson's law school. And that maybe doesn't say at all about the Republican Party, but it says a lot, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And
people ask your right-wing friends about that, you know?
Let me say one thing in defense of Pat Robertson's law school. They make very airtight pacts with the devil. those are airtight. You can't get out of those. 58 minutes after the hour, back with more on the State of the Union, Celebrity Stack, and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Aha! 6 minutes after the hour, in the post State of the Union glow. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. 78%, Chris, that's almost 80.
So I've heard.
Percent of the people in the CNN poll had a positive reaction to the president's speech like I did. Call me a chirpy apologist, I don't care.
You're a chirpy apologist.
Fine.
But it was a very good speech.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's it.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite. Carbonite Online Backup, a must for my computer. It should be for yours, too. Don't wait. Backup your computer today. Now do it. For a 15-day free trial, you heard me, free, plus 2 months free with any subscription. Visit Carbonite.com. Be sure to use the offer code Stephanie. All right.
Do it now.
Thank you. Thank you, Arnold. I appreciate it.
And these kinds of things.
All right. Hey, speaking of, you know, because, Chris, all I know is Carbonite works magically. It doesn't, I don't understand technology. It just does it. It backs it up automatically.
Yes, it does.
All right, as you know, I don't even know how to get out of one email account into the other one. Like, I don't even know how to, I don't know what to minimize
sign
or
out.
Restore down or, I, yeah.
You hit sign out, and then you sign into your other email account.
I don't, you know, I really don't understand the iPad. What's the,
It's a big waste of computing parts, seriously.
Steve Jobs said it's so much more intimate than a laptop and so much more capable than a smartphone. What is it? What do it do?
It's a smart lap.
It does everything that my iPhone does except make calls. And I can fit my iPhone in my pocket.
It's back to like a really giant cell phone like you used to have in the
70s. No, it doesn't even make calls.
Oh, it's more of a laptop than a...
But it's a laptop that you have to actually put on your lap. Because if you put it on the table, you have to look down at it instead of looking at the screen.
Remember you texted me for a year before I ever answered because I didn't know what they were.
I know.
Like, what is that?
Sounds like a solution without a problem.
Yeah. I love Apple products. I have an iPhone. I'm very happy with it. I hate AT&T,
but AT&T. Coverage sucks.
It's not something I need.
Yeah. Marcy writes, yes, the iPad is small, lightweight, and slim, but can you swim with it? Will women send their husbands to the Apple store to buy iPads? But if they move really fast, we'll know the darn thing's got wings.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait for the version with wings. That's coming out in 6 months.
But will you be able to ride a horse on the beach?
With your iPad. Exactly.
Well, you know what? Mad TV did a sketch about the iPad a few years ago.
Wow.
And it was about a sanitary napkin.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So I don't know that Apple did their research before they named this thing.
All right, let's go back to talking about my box. Rob writes, since Stephanie moved to New York, her box has consistently been low. I keep hearing this, and I look, there's only so many rejuvenation surgeries you can do. I don't know how much higher it's going to be right under my...
It hangs down like sleeves of wizard.
When voice clips or music are fired from L.A., they sound peachy, but they're about 12 to 18 dBs low when played from New York, according to Bob, who's some tech...
dBs?
Apparently, I don't
know. Wow, he's a
exactly
sound guy.
How many, whatever.
I want you to know that I have no control over Stephanie's
over my box.
Box.
Well, who does? I don't even. Okay. The State of the Union, of course, last night. Shano with a...
Madam Speaker, the President of the United States.
In many, many ways, this is one of the most conservative speeches that a Democratic president has given. Clowns to the left of me. President Obama moves to the right. Here I am, stuck
in the middle. President Barack Obama's
opening new offshore areas for oil and gas development, continued investment in clean coal technologies, eliminate all capital gains taxes on small business investment. We cut taxes, we cut taxes, we cut taxes, we cut taxes, we cut taxes. Now let me repeat, we cut taxes.
President Barack Obama.
The Democrats, I would remind you that we still have the largest majority in decades, and the people expect us to solve problems, not run for the hills. And if the Republican leadership is going to insist that 60 votes in the Senate are required to do any business at all in this town, a supermajority, then the responsibility to govern is now yours as well. We don't quit. I don't quit. Let's seize this moment to start anew, to carry the dream forward, and to strengthen our union once more. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you, Mr. President. A humdinger of a speech in my personal opinion. Oh, look at you.
What? It wasn't the best speech.
It was magnificent.
It wasn't
Jim
the
Ward,
best speech he's ever given.
Human Destruction said it was magnificent, didn't you, Jim?
Yes.
There.
Words to that effect.
But it wasn't the best speech he's ever given.
Well, that's
what he did, what he needed to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he was trying to appeal to the centrists.
Are we selling Samuel Alito bobblehead dolls on the website yet? Are they in the Steph store?
Yes, we do. No, we don't. Yes, we do. No, we don't. No, we don't. Yes, we do.
That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true.
Okay. We can see your lips move on television, you dope.
I tweeted a link to that video a little bit earlier this morning. Twitter.com/RadioGuyChris.
Yeah.
So
if you want to take a look at it. Republicans took it to Democrats. What I absolutely read the code in there. It was, Da Vinci Code, sure. But it was he was saying, pass it. Do whatever you have to do. I will remind you, you have the biggest majority still in however many years. Right, Jim? And do it.
Yeah.
Get it done. And he took it right to the Republicans. If you're going to be the party of no, I mean, I don't know what.
Then
it
what am
it right
I talking to?
The Supreme Court to their face. I mean, come on.
It's like talking to a wall.
All right. And he talked about politics as usual last night. The president.
Washington may think that saying anything about the other side, no matter how false, no matter how malicious, is just part of the game. But it's precisely such politics that has stopped either party from helping the American people. Worse yet, it's sowing further division among our citizens, further distrust in our government. So no, I will not give up on trying to change the tone of our politics. I know it's an election year, and after last week, it's clear that campaign fever has come even earlier than usual. But we still need to govern. The Democrats, I would remind you that we still have the largest majority in decades,
yes,
and the people expect us to solve problems, not run for the hills.
Yes, yeah, I guess this is...
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, Jim, it was code for use reconciliation.
Right.
The Republicans are a bunch of boxes. They're not going to help us at all.
Right.
But he has to say it in a classy presidential way.
That was not in the subtitles.
Yeah, not in a Jersey Shore kind of way.
Exactly. Tom, my right-wing love muffin in Chicago. Good morning, Tom.
Oh, Tom couldn't hold. He got scared.
He's a scared of me. Okay. By the way, so I was happy about the don't ask, don't tell. This was the president last night.
The notion that we're all created equal, that no matter who you are or what you look like, if you abide by the law, you should be protected by it.
if you adhere to our common values, you should be treated no different than anyone else. We must continually renew this promise. My administration has a civil rights division that is once again prosecuting civil rights violations and employment discrimination.
Ah.
We finally strengthened.
That's what that bookseller was talking about.
Yeah, it's been in my business. Government mandation.
We finally strengthened our laws to protect against crimes driven by hate. This year, I will work with Congress and our military to finally repeal the law that denies gay Americans the right to serve the country they love because of who they are.
Yeah, standing ovation, and including Defense Secretary Robert Gates, I might say.
Hmm.
Jim, what did you think? Because obviously they're saying, oh, you know, gay activists aren't happy. But I thought it was a pretty clear, I am going to work with Congress this year.
But he's talking about working with the military to make, well, I guess you have to, but most people would rather see him just, you know, an executive order.
Yeah, I understand people's impatience, but I also think, you know, then you've got John McCain. If we had had John McCain president, I mean, he literally said yesterday the policy is successful. It's been successful.
Mm.
Nobody thinks Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been successful. It's a disaster. I mean, I don't even know what the numbers are, Chris. Do you? The vast majority of the American people think Don't Ask,
for one thing,
should be overturned.
A lot of people are telling, obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah. For one thing, it's a bad name. Anyway, all right, one more from
the spirit that has sustained this nation for more than two centuries lives on in you, its people. We have finished a difficult year. We have come through a difficult decade. But a new year has come. A new decade stretches before us. We don't quit. I don't quit. Let's seize this moment to start anew, to carry the dream forward, and to strengthen our union once more. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
Woo! Woo! Ra-ha! Calvo in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mama.
Hello.
Hey, Moots.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys are my sunrise.
Oh, you're our sunset or something. our Haley's Comet. What? Go ahead.
So I just wanted to say, you know what? There's a problem here. I think that it has to do with pronouns. You know, when we talk about President Obama's speech last night, where he's, you know, we say he said. You know what? When he addressed the Supreme Court, that was me. That was me up there. And I believe that's pretty much everyone who doesn't, all Americans who don't want foreign entities controlling their government or corporatists controlling their government. I mean, I think we need to change our pronouns from he to we, because I was up there. You know, like Aragorn in the Lord of the Rings, you know, when he goes into the mountain to get the ghost army? We were up there behind Obama.
Mm-hmm.
We were there. He spoke for me. I was on
that's
that
right.
platform.
That's right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Calvo. I didn't really understand that reference. But all right. Doesn't he have a great way, Jim, of explaining things in normal terms?
Mm-hmm.
You just literally thought, what the hell were they thinking with this decision? I mean, and it takes it right to these, like, tough-on-terror Republicans. It's like, you're not interested in keeping the country safe. You're interested in what's good for Republicans.
Scoring political points.
That's right. Yeah.
How can you think it's a good idea to have foreign money involved in our politics?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought he encapsulated it beautifully, what that decision was all about, and that they really ought to do something about it to mitigate it. All right. Yeah. Talking to you, Bobblehead Alito.
Alito would take issue with that.
It's not true.
That's not true. It's not true.
It's not true.
It's not true.
That's 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 not true.
20 minutes after the hour, right back with more State of the Union. Oh, and gee, this will be a shock. Right wing world's going to be a shock today. Their reaction to the State of the Union when we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I am shocked and appalled.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a
Yeah, let's do it. Why not? 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Dave in Michigan on the State of the Union. Hi, Dave.
Hey. Well, just maybe a little correction. You said that the poll number showed that 80% were favorable of the speech. Or, you know, 78%. But yet on Fox News, it was 87% thought the speech was terrible.
Yeah, that was from their own website poll.
By the way, the redneck bar that Steve Ducey's son went into to do interviews on the speech.
Fair and balanced.
Yeah. All right, thank you, honey. Yeah, did you hear that? He sent his douchey son into a bar, and oddly, Jim, everyone didn't like the speech.
Huh.
All right. It was probably like that bar in I don't know what movie I'm thinking of. Roadhouse, the Patrick Swayze movie. Okay.
It was actually a bar in Chicago.
Oh, okay. Then it wasn't that bar. Pardon me. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, and see what's doing. You know, Jim, not really sure how a speech can be flat and defiant, but Steve Hayes says so, so it must be true. Steve Hayes on the Fox News.
I thought the actual delivery of the speech was very flat, surprisingly flat for this president. And the rhetoric in the speech, the language, was, I would say, defiant. I mean, I do think he didn't. Not only did he not pivot, he stuck to his guns in areas that we probably didn't anticipate. I mean, who thought that he was going to be talking about comprehensive climate legislation? I mean, that's been dead, at least in the minds of most people in Washington, for 6 months.
No,
and yet he said,
Republicans.
We can do this.
No.
Republicans thought it was dead.
They're not the most people in Washington anymore.
Yeah. Wow. That's hard to have a flat delivery and be defiant at the same time, isn't it, Jim?
Deflatulent.
Huh?
It was flat-fiant.
Wow, okay.
It was angry in a really dull, reticent sort of way.
Yes, and not nearly pivoty enough. Okay, Dana Perino on the Fox News.
I don't recall one where a president was having to give a State of the Union address the week after a major defeat politically.
What?
Well, I remember Clinton gave a humdinger of a speech right when the Monica Lewinsky scandal broke.
Yeah.
Humdinger?
Yeah. Oh, I shouldn't have.
No, Stephanie Louise Miller.
That was, I blew that one.
Hey!
Come on,
I've had far too many humdingers.
Okay. Oh, Riley. This is
the folks gave President Obama and his liberal policies a chance, but now some frustration has set in with the huge spending, a confusing health care bill, and chaotic terror policies. There are big changes going on in the USA, and as the country moves to the right, the president should take notice.
God.
Huh.
Cogent political analysis is always.
Which of his liberal policies exactly have been in place, Jim? The American people have.
That they've rejected.
Maybe he refers to the Bush bank bailouts and the auto bailouts and.
Yeah.
Okay.
Medicare expansion.
We report accurately what the president says and does. On this opinion program, we try to give the president a fair shake and back up our criticisms with facts.
Such as?
We are in the tank for no one.
Oh. No, really? No Republican Party stuff at all? Really?
No.
A little bit? No?
Okay. They pretty much have the entire George W. Bush administration on their payroll.
Yeah,
so,
yeah exactly. Okay, Steve Hayes on the Brit Bear.
His difficulty over the first year, and the reason that I think he finds himself in so much trouble going into the State of the Union, has been his own party. He's had huge majorities in both chambers of Congress, and he hasn't been able to enact his agenda. He hasn't been able to do the big things that he said he was going to do a year ago.
Because
I did a little Democratic head knocking last night as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because some of the Democrats are Dinos, Democrat in name only.
Mm-hmm. Charles Krauthammer on the Ripper.
He is not a hostage of the party's left. He is a man of the left. Clinton was a man of the center. He'd long been in the DLC, which is the centrist faction of his party. Mm-hmm. Obama is a man, you know, Harvard faculty, a club, 20 years in the pew of Jeremiah Wright, a friend of William Ayers, Rashid Dakali, the political propagandist. This is who he is. It's where he lived, and you saw it all in his agenda this year. It was a left-wing agenda.
No, it wasn't. And now they love Bill Clinton suddenly.
Clinton. Oh, we got a hostage crisis on the left, Jim. That's what's going on here. Who's holding who hostage? We're holding the president hostage, the far left? I got confused in there somewhere. Okay, fine. All right, that concludes Right Wing World. And not a moment too soon, in my personal opinion. I think think you're breaking a minute early, but I could be wrong.
I think you might be right.
Dang, don't you try to play me off my own show.
Pretty soon the hook's coming out.
Holly in New York City.
Get used to this new clock, for crying out loud.
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Holly, welcome.
Notice I didn't say Calcutta.
Yes, thank you.
Good morning. My reaction to last night's speech was that it was a lot like his first year. Good stuff in it, but overall disappointing. And what I'll tell you what would have made me really happy, had he said about health care reform the same thing he said about financial reform, which was he would veto anything that wasn't real reform. That would have been great. And also, last night on Twitter, the lip readers were saying that John McCain had a moment that was only surpassed by Alito. And
Stephanie Miller.
I should write a book about dating in my 30s.
Only if you wrote it 10 years ago.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Carrie in St. Charles, Illinois, on the President's Speech. Hello, Carrie.
Hey, Stephanie, I think you're 4 dB quiet.
Anyway, really? You're even more of a tech geek. Okay.
No, not really. I'm just kidding. Anyway, do you talk to Tea Partiers?
Do I talk to them?
Yeah, I'm one of them. I was wondering about... I was wondering why...
well, I'm being teabagged right now, then, aren't I?
Yes, you are. Why didn't Obama mention the $5 million or the 5-year, $100 million terror trials that are coming up?
What are you talking about? You're talking about the trials in New York City?
Yes.
Well, I believe he
didn't mention those, but the Republican response mentioned it. They said, why don't we use our money to fight terrorists instead of protecting them?
The trials are not to protect them; they're to convict them.
But isn't that
like the criminals that they are? Wouldn't you like to see that happen, or would you rather that they get away like they did under George Bush?
They've already pleaded guilty and they wanted to be executed, but now they're going to be innocent until proven guilty.
Yes, we're America. You see, we believe in trials.
Okay.
That's why my dad was a Republican. He was a prosecutor at Nuremberg. You see, we believe in actually setting up trials and things because we're not a banana republic. Yes,
okay,
Jim.
Well, anyway, that was my point. Just
all right, thank you. It was a bad one. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, it was a really bad point.
Yeah.
That was a spectacular
See, event. Why are we protecting them then, huh? We're protecting terrorists by putting them on trial and forcing them to testify about the things they did.
Okay.
Just kill everybody! No trial, let's just kill!
That insanely idiotic drop, I don't think at any point in that entire thing.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
The Nuremberg trials were to point out how unlike the Nazis we were, in that we had actual trials where they had a chance to state their case, unlike the show trials they had under Hitler.
Show trials. Karen and Madison, you're
no
on the...
No jazz hands involved.
Yeah. I know. Karen and Madison. Hello, Karen.
I thought the president's speech last night was awesome, and I was elated to finally hear someone who is Democratic try to point out the spending record as far as Washington has been concerned over the last so many years. He cited the Bush debt that accumulated. I would have liked him to mention the where the debt came from before the Bush Jr. administration, namely that under the last three Republican presidents, Bush Sr., Reagan, and Bush Jr., every penny of our national debt has accumulated, and not one penny has accumulated from a Democratic president.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Representative Allison Schwartz of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania joins us now on her reaction to the big speech last night. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm in my post State of the Union glow. How about you? I thought it was magnificent.
It's a nice place to be. It is. It's always a thrill to be in the chamber, listening to the president, and being a part of a moment in history, which each State of the Union address is. And this one was important, as I think each of them are. But it certainly was great to be there. The president, as we knew he would do, it took some real time to explain how we got into the mess we're in, how we're getting out of this mess, and how we have to really get some things done if we're going to move this economy forward and address some of the underlying challenges that exist for American families and, of course, for American families and businesses and our governments.
What were the highlights for you?
Well, because, as you know, since we've talked so much about it, talking about health care was important to me, and I was very proud and pleased that the president did take time to explain why we're doing this, tie the concerns we have about health care both to the struggles that American families have and to restoring a really great economy for this country, and he really took time to talk about that and really renewed his commitment to getting comprehensive health care reform done.
Well,
that was an important moment for me.
Listen, maybe they say this is this president's skill, that everybody sees everything they want to in him. everyone hears what they want to hear. But I really thought, I loved how he took it to Democrats and Republicans. I thought, and to me, I feel like the president can't get that specific to say use reconciliation or do it this way, but I thought that's what he was saying, wasn't he? He said, Democrats, I remind you, have the largest majority since whatever, and your job is to get things done. I mean, didn't you think he was? I mean, it was code for saying get this done, however you need to.
He did say get it done, and it was good that he didn't get more specific about process. We've talked enough about process. I'm focused on that rather than how important getting health care reform done is to Americans. And we should be talking about that and less about process, I think, because we need to get this done. But
Speaker,
he also did say to Republicans that if you're going to make every vote 60 vote supermajority requirement, to be used only in unusual situations, then you have to take some responsibility for getting this done, too. So he really called us all out to get it done.
Right.
I thought that was
Speaker,
a good thing as well.
Give me your take on Speaker Pelosi.
We will make every effort to have a health care bill, but we will make progress. Whatever it is, one way or another, we will go forward with that.
Do you agree with the Speaker? I mean, she is saying not having a bill is just not an option, that we are going to go forward, and it seems like that absolutely is what the president was demanding last night.
Yes, I do, and I not only agree with them, of course, I'm working to make that happen, and it is important. And I think, as the president pointed out, it's because we all know someone, if it hasn't been ourselves, we all know someone who has a pre-existing condition, can't get health insurance. We all know someone who is struggling with paying bills that they thought were covered by the insurance company. We all know the struggles we all have with, getting bills paid that we thought were just going to be paid for, because we paid insurance for so many years. We can solve these problems, and it's not easy. It's complicated. And it's complicated not just politically, but it's complicated because, the system is complicated, but we are working, and I do believe we will get done something substantial for the American people, because it's about time. We've worked on this for, I think the president said, a century. I will only admit to 3 decades, but it's it's an entire.
I thought he expressed the same irritation with the Senate that I feel several times last night. He kind of he pointed out the House has passed a lot of good things that are obviously getting jammed up by the Senate.
That's right. I mean, we have passed financial regulatory reform. It's important to making sure that we have the kind of regulation we need so that we don't have the kind of meltdown or risk-taking that happened in the financial sector that certainly contributed to this, the near collapse of our financial system. We've gotten that done. We certainly have passed energy legislation, and we've even moved a jobs bill late in December. I have to say the other piece I was very happy about is that he did talk about in some real specifics for Americans to hear about how we are going to tackle the economy and creating new jobs in the private sector, incentivizing and stimulating the private sector, particularly small business.
Let me guess, not one Republican is for the jobs bill, are they?
They
so
didn't
far.
Vote for it. That's right. No, that's right. And I, you
and
know,
their reason is what?
They wouldn't do it that way. What they want to do is and I thought the president was very articulate on this last night, what they want to do is reduce taxes for the wealthiest Americans, to do less regulation, and to sort of, you know, their theory is you get out of the way. Now, of course, we tried that for 8 years, and look where it left us, you know,
right.
The largest debt and deficit and the near collapse of the financial market. So,
Congresswoman, let me go back to health care for a minute because I want to get specific with you. You know, obviously, one of the ways is to use reconciliation on parts of the just the Senate or the excuse me, the House passing the Senate bill, correct? But then using reconciliation on parts of it. You know, we had these two centrist senators, Democrats, come out yesterday saying we're not for that. Isn't that the point? Is we don't need them. this is who's gummed up the works in the first place. Isn't that the point that, you know, we only need 51, right?
I only need 51, and again, we should. I like to talk about it as a majority vote. Again, the 60-vote rule was supposed to be, you know, only used on spare occasions. This would be majority rule, and this would only be used for making some changes in the Senate bill, because we do believe that the bill could be strengthened by some of the negotiations that have gone on in between the House and the Senate and the White House to make sure that if we're going to require all Americans to have health insurance so that they reduce the premiums for all Americans. We also need to make sure that for lower-income working folks that there are adequate subsidies, that we have to have very strong insurance regulations, you know, that we really need to make some changes in the Senate bill, and that could be done with a majority rule vote. I'm okay with that, and we certainly hope that the Senate's okay with that.
You know, I feel like what I don't want is Democrats to take the wrong message from Massachusetts. I mean, I think, you know, Americans want Democrats to be stronger. Like the president said last night, you have a majority. You're supposed to get things done that the American people voted for, which, you know, was health care, correct? Did you hear John Boehner, your colleague there, about Massachusetts? We have it here. John Boehner.
Yeah, I heard him the other morning on...
And as you saw in Massachusetts, it wasn't just health care. It was the increases in taxes. It was the cap-and-trade bill and the fact that the president continues to insist on bringing a terrorist into the United States and providing them rights.
Wow, he got quite the extensive Massachusetts tea leaves, didn't he?
Well, I mean, first of all, we have not increased taxes. We reduced taxes on 95% of Americans, and so they can keep saying it, but it's just simply not the facts there. And you know, we can all interpret Massachusetts in a variety of ways. I'll say simply this: that 90% of people in Massachusetts have health care because of a comprehensive health care reform bill that was passed in the Massachusetts legislature and signed by a Republican governor and voted on by soon-to-be Senator Scott Brown.
Yeah.
So, and he has said that he's continued to support it, that it's working in Massachusetts. So, you know, the fact that we've used a lot of that experience in developing the health care reform bill, which is using private insurance companies and helping to make sure that there are greater consumer protections for Americans and that there are you know, there's the ability for Americans to buy meaningful health insurance coverage. Now, what I will say is that, and you know this because we've talked about this, is that a lot of people have been scared by what we're doing because, in fact, many Republicans and certainly many talk shows, not yours, have talked about things that are simply not true in the legislation. And we do need to do a better job. And not only talking to the American people about what's really in this legislation, but also listening to them. And we've been doing that. One of the reasons we have gone back and kept making changes is because we heard from Americans
that
they would rather do this than to do that. And so we
think the president's right, though.
To accommodate them.
I think the president's right, though, Congresswoman. I think the time's talking is done. Now it's doing. I think it's doing is what the
Americans
want.
I agree with that as well. It would have been great to have passed this legislation, you know, a few weeks ago. Might have actually made it a little bit easier, you know, if we had come to. And we were so close on some of the
negotiations.
Keep going.
Absolutely.
All right. And here's to prosperity and health care.
Yes.
There you go. Congresswoman Allison Schwartz, thanks so much for taking time, as always.
Bye-bye.
There she goes, Congresswoman Allison Schwartz from the Great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. 47 minutes after the hour, back with more on the State of the Union, the budget freeze, and celebrity sack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up! up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You've seen the difference, and it's getting better all the time. I'll stop the world and melt.
Stephanie Miller.
52 minutes after the hour.
What?
My Skype is acting weird this morning.
Oh, no.
Can we get an iPad?
You want the owner of the show to buy one?
I'm questioning the freshness of our...
You know what? It wouldn't work, because the iPad doesn't even have a camera.
Oh.
Yeah.
You look like one of those gargoyles in Ghostbusters. You just are frozen all morning. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free.
Like
from
the
anywhere.
One that Rick Moranis turned into?
Yes.
Oh. Oh, dear. Yeah.
All right. Roz in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Roz.
Well, if you're having phone problems, I know some service people that will be glad to come out.
Or at least one's dressed like them.
Am I the only one that's excited about the troops getting to come home from Iraq in August? The Republicans just sat there like they were stunned at first. And then all of a sudden they started clapping like, oh, yeah, maybe people do want the troops to come home.
Yeah, maybe people do want the illegal war to be over, yeah.
And, Stephanie, I think your dad would really be proud of you for taking up for the rights to the trial. So you guys have a good day.
Thank you, honey. Oh, that's nice. Most right-wingers think my father would be appalled at my little show.
Your mother's appalled.
Well, yes. All right. Fortunately, she can't hear it. All right.
Not yet. We're working on an affiliate there.
The president.
One woman wrote to me and said, "We are strained but hopeful, struggling but encouraged. It's because of this spirit, this great decency and great strength, that I have never been more hopeful about America's future than I am tonight."
Aww.
Yeah, hope mongers of the world unite. I am, go ahead, call me a chirpy apologist. I don't care this morning. Tony in Mama's hometown of Lackport, New York, up the transit from Cheektowaga. Hello,
Stephanie,
Tony.
You know we're not near Cheektowaga. You know we're not too far from Willow Street.
Everything's up the transit from Lackport.
Not too far from Willow Street?
That's my the street I grew up on.
Really?
Yes. Tony, were you my original stalker?
Pardon?
Were you my original stalker?
Hell no. I'm a great admirer of yours, Stephanie.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, Tony, go ahead.
And I'm too old to be a stalker. That's why I remember your father.
All right. Go ahead, Tony.
I liked the speech last night, and I think we needed to be reminded of the positive agenda that the president has. I think he articulated it well. And I think now that he's got a year under his belt, perhaps he can start moving some of these positive initiatives forward. And I think we need to continue to be patient and to be supportive, but we also need to continue, kind of like Ed Scholz does every once in a while, to remind people like the president's press secretary not to become complacent.
Right, right. I think the president absolutely it was the old version of lead, follower, get out of the way. That he, you know, the message he gave Republicans, and I thought it was very clear, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you, Tony. Chris, he had to go. Chris in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, thanks so much for all that you do to raise awareness and cause us all to laugh. It's great.
Oh, thank you.
Just want you to know that I certainly support the president and, like the last caller, agree that it's going to take a long, long time to fix the broken system. However, based from what he said last night and his actions over the last year, I really don't feel that he's addressing the root cause of what's going on in Washington. He talks about fixing what's going on in Washington. And he's not really addressing corporate personhood. You know, Tom Hartman talks about the fact that corporate.
Well, I thought, boy, that was pretty unprecedented the way he took it to the Supreme Court right to their face, you know.
Yeah, that's a start. But, you know, there needs to actually be action. That's rhetoric, and there just isn't anything happening until we, you know, until we fix the root cause.
Well, I thought he was pretty clear about telling Congress that this was unacceptable and they should pass something to mitigate it, you know?
Yeah, yep.
All right,
yep.
Thank you, honey. I appreciate the call. Didn't you think, Jim? I thought he was pretty, you know.
There are three co-equal parts of government, so get on it, Congress.
Yeah, exactly. All right, a little bit of celebrity stack. Oh, this is shocking news, Jim. Elizabeth Edwards, I don't know why, where this could have been coming from, has separated from...
It's very sad.
Yeah.
Very, very sad. Didn't have to happen.
No, it's just, he just gets skeevier and skeevier, doesn't he? This new book details the lengths that Edwards went to hide the affair. He says that Edwards asked him to find a doctor who might fake a paternity test, asked him to steal a diaper from the baby to determine whether it was really his. It's just, All right.
Dodge that bullet.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe I ever
supported
him.
Yeah, weren't you two Edwards guys?
I think I was. I was a big-time Edwards guy. That's why I feel so betrayed by him.
Just another version of Mama's Always Right. The movie's always wrong. Mm-hmm. Listen, the important thing is the short psychic lady from Poltergeist has died.
That was very sad.
I know. She was 76. What was her name?
Zelda Rubinstein.
Zelda Rubinstein.
Mm-hmm.
Was she the one that... No, she wasn't the one in the TV. She was the one that told her that the kid was in the TV, right?
Right. She's the one who said, now let's go get your daughter.
Yeah, because the mother was entirely too casual about it, wasn't she? She's just like, my kid's in the TV.
Whatever.
Anyway,
it's like that episode of Twilight Zone. I think we need to call a physicist.
She's a little too casual about all that, for my taste.
But she was also one of the original AIDS activists back in the early 80s.
Yeah,
like one of the first. So
that's right. Yep. Good for her. All right, that's it for us. I would. By the way, our fancy economist guy, Christian Weller, tomorrow.
That's right.
Would be great to talk to him about the president's proposals in the State of the Union. We will see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.